Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever been wrapped in a blanket close to someone that you love, and the closeness of being with that person in that blanket created this intimacy? I'm not talking about anything sexual. I'm talking about an intimacy of the soul, an intimacy that communicated love and safety and protection. Maybe you were snuggled in a blanket when you were a little kid with mom or dad. You were sitting around a campfire or on the side of a hill looking up at fireworks or on a beach watching the waves come in. Or maybe it was that you were wrapped in a blanket with a grandparent or some other relative that you were really close to. Perhaps it was you and a sibling when you were just a child, or you and one of your close friends. Or if you're married, maybe it was you and your spouse. Or if you have kids, maybe it was you and your child sitting there together. And as you remember that moment, you can almost feel that blanket wrapped around you and the warmth of the other person's body next to yours, and just that safe, restful intimacy of two people who share this pure love for each other. Today, I want to talk to you about that kind of intimacy and how we can have it with God. We're starting this new series, Ancient Future Spirituality. That's kind of a weird name, so let me kind of explain the title. What we're going to do the next couple weeks is talk about how we can take some of the ancient practices of the Christian faith and incorporate them into our lives today. And we're going to start this morning by looking at the ancient spiritual practices of prayer and meditation, because it's in the blanket of prayer and meditation that we feel God's love. Now, I want to ask you to imagine something. If it helps, you could close your eyes. You don't have to. But I want you to imagine a quiet little street at about 5 o'clock in the morning, back about 2,000 years ago. Imagine a small house on that street. It's dark inside because everyone is still sleeping. Imagine that you walk into that house, and as you pass through the rooms, you notice all these men sleeping very soundly on mats on the floor. You assume that it must be that the owners of the house invited all these guests to come over, and they just had to all sleep anywhere where they could find room. You can hear their soft snoring. Somewhere in the back, in one of the side rooms, one of the men sits up in his bed and silently starts to awake. He rubs his eyes, and then he sits staring at each of the others crashed around him. And as he looks at each one, a smile broadens over his face. Then, quietly pulling his blanket over him like a cloak, he stands up and begins tiptoeing through the room so as not to wake any of his companions. Silently, he starts moving towards the front door of the house, glancing in each room at his friends who are asleep on the floors. And then, slowly lifting the latch on the front door, he steps out into the cool morning air and he quietly closes the door behind him. The town outside is still quiet, it's fresh, the moon still lingers in the air. Taking a deep breath of the morning air, he steps off the porch and begins heading down the street towards the edge of town. He passes just a few people who are awake as early as he, a couple of merchants setting up their carts for their morning sales, a mother in her kitchen window who's preparing her husband's lunch before he heads off to work. It's the sounds of a town that's just about to become alive for another day. Moving steadily, the man heads to the edge of town and down a path that leads into a field and then up a hill. Soon the torch lights from the town below start to fade away, and he's alone and he's making his way up this large hill. He looks back once or twice and can start to see the signs that this sleepy little town is starting to wake up. But then as he approaches the top of the hill, he turns towards the sky and he drops to his knees and he wraps his blanket tighter around him and he just starts to stare off into the morning sky. And for a moment, he simply breathes. He breathes deep. He breathes steady. And then he prays. And in the next moments, as this sun slowly starts to begin to peek over the horizon and bring light to the morning sky around him, he feels the loving presence of his Father in heaven, of God who is right there with him, holding him close in that blanket. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Every person who has ever truly sought to have intimacy with God has made prayer and meditation an important part of their spiritual life, including Jesus himself. There's an author named Richard Foster. He writes in his book, Streams of Living Water, nothing is more striking in Jesus' life than his intimacy with the Father, like a recurring pattern in a quilt, so prayer threads its way through Jesus' life. Intimacy with God grows through prayer and meditation. It's through those spiritual practices that we draw close to God and he is able to draw close to us. One of the early Christians, a guy named Paul, wrote in the Bible in a book called 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. He said, pray continually. Pray continually. And Paul was trying to stress to us the importance of a spiritual life that is rooted and growing in intimacy with God the Father through prayer and meditation. Now, some people throughout the ages have taken Paul's words and other encouragements in the Bible to keep prayer as a constant point of contact and communication with God very literally. And so they made it their goal to give their lives to understanding and acknowledging and embracing God's presence with them, not just for a few moments in the day or even for a few hours, but to have this constant contact with God. In fact, in the 200 and 300s AD, there was a group of spiritual seekers that became known as the Desert Fathers. And what these guys would do is they would go off into the desert where they would live in isolation for periods of times, sometimes up to like 20 years at a time in isolation. And they would just seek to have this constant contact and awareness of God's presence and pray to him. And these guys, they were kind of a strange bunch, as you might guess, for people who live for 20 years by themselves. And if you read their writings, man, that they start in the desert to have these visions or hallucinations, I'm really not sure. And you read it and you're like, okay, this is some really weird stuff. But despite their oddness, I still think there's something commendable about these desert fathers, because they saw prayer and meditation as being so important that they decided to devote their entire lives to practicing the presence of God in order to cultivate a closer relationship with God. One of the desert fathers was named Abbot Arsenius. He was the great-great-great-grandfather of Abbot Arsenius Hall. Woo, woo, woo. I wasn't sure if anyone would get that. Thank you. Some of the people who are like under 30 are like... but he lived in the 300s AD, and he was said to go outside every Saturday evening around sundown, and he would go off into the desert, and he would raise his hands in prayer, and he would pray throughout the night until the sun came up on Sunday morning. And other monastic traditions have also emphasized prayer and meditation as a central element of the spiritual life. There's a guy named Brother Lawrence. I encourage you to read his book. It's real little and easy to read and a little bit odd, but it's awesome. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God, and he lived in the 1600s, and in his book he wrote, "The most holy practice, most essential for the spiritual life, is the practice of the presence of God. To find joy in his divine company, speaking humbly and conversing lovingly with him at all times, every moment. And so he just had this idea, man, if God is with me all the time, which is what he promises, then I don't want to ignore him. I want to always keep my focus on him and do my day with him. There's another guy named Ignatius Loyola. He founded the Jesuits, if you've ever heard of them. And if you're a future mom looking for a name for a boy, Ignatius. He lived in the 1500s, and he introduced the world to what he called the prayer of examine. And the idea is to prayerfully reflect on a specific period of time. It might be the last couple hours. It might be yesterday. It might be the last week. And to kind of examine that period of time and to try to see how God was present in your life. What was God doing in your life during that time? How was God maybe trying to speak to you or trying to lead you? Perhaps something that you totally missed. And the goal of taking some time to do this prayer of examine is to become more aware of God's presence in all the moments of our life as they're actually happening. That we start to be able to discern what God's doing in my life right now. See, people back then took very seriously this idea of keeping this constant connection with God through prayer and meditation. But what about today? Now, what is it that makes prayer and meditation so difficult for us? And I'm not talking about all the time. I'm talking about for even a few minutes. You know what I mean? The idea of praying all the time without ceasing, of always keeping my focus on God and talking to God, that just seems impossible because it's difficult for me to keep my concentration set on God for a couple of minutes. Why is it so difficult? I think there's probably a lot of reasons. Let me walk you through four of them that I think make it tough for us to pray and meditate on a regular basis. First, I think we struggle with prayer and meditation because we've learned to compartmentalize our lives. You know, we bought into the idea that life is made up of compartments. That's just how life works. We look at our lives kind of like a TV dinner. Did any of you eat TV dinners growing up? Yeah, and you know how they had the compartments and there's the Salisbury steak and the peas and the mashed potatoes. Anyone like me that you wanted each food to stay in its own compartment? Yes, but every once in a while a pea would like jump the wall into the mashed potato section and it's like, no! I would just get angry picturing the pea like going like, I'm going for it! I don't know. But we have this idea that that's the way life works. Life has its compartments, right? So there's a work compartment. I do that from 9 to 5, maybe. There's the family compartment. There's the church spiritual compartment. There's a social compartment. And so we buy into this idea that you're not supposed to let one compartment kind of overflow into the other, right? We talk this way all the time. We say things like at work, we might say, hey, leave your baggage at home, right? Or at home, we might say, leave your work at the office. Because we divide work, and that may not be all bad, right? But the problem is, we tend to do that same kind of compartmentalizing with our spiritual lives. And everyone knows things like prayer and meditation, those are for the compartment that happens like on a Sunday morning, or here we do it also on Monday nights at church, right? That's where you do the prayer and meditation part. Now, I wonder, when was the last time that you consciously made an effort to incorporate prayer or meditation into your workday? Or when was the last time you consciously made an effort to incorporate it into your family time? The truth is, we probably don't do a whole lot of that because we tend to keep things in their nice little neat compartments. And the truth is, we've got to stop doing that, at least with prayer. Like, we need to let prayer jump the walls into all the other compartments of our lives. A second reason I think we tend to struggle with prayer and meditation in our daily lives is because we are consumers by nature. We just are. We live in a consumer culture, and it has a profound impact on us. And everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, we're offered something to consume, right? There's shopping malls, and there's advertisements, and there's commercials, and there's billboards, and we're told to buy things and get things and own things and eat things. And so American culture is a consumer culture, and we're a part of our culture. And I don't know if necessarily that's all bad. But the problem is that we tend to treat prayer kind of like that as well. We transplant that consumer mindset that we all live with into our prayer lives. And so we treat God kind of like this divine ATM machine. You know, and so it's time to pray. So I enter in my secret ATM code, B-O-S-C-O, Bosco, Bosco. Anyone? No one? Seinfeld? Okay, forget you. I do this for me. Like, the jokes are just to entertain me. If you don't laugh, I don't care. And so we enter in our code, and what we do is we present to God the things that I would like to get out of prayer today. Here's my list of things I want to consume. But the problem is that God doesn't want us just to deal with Him on a consumer level. Now, just so you know, now I want to be clear. God does tell us to ask Him for things. You should ask God for things. That's a good thing. But prayer needs to be more than that. And when we make prayer nothing more than a personal shopping list of the things we want, it creates problems. Because maybe there's nothing I want right now, and so why would I pray? Or maybe there's something I want, and I asked God for it, but He didn't answer my prayer in the way I wanted to. So now I'm frustrated with prayer, and I don't even see the point of praying because He's not giving me what I want. And I just give up on the whole thing. See, but the problem isn't with prayer, it's with the way we're praying. Our prayers are just about the things that we need, and maybe we need to learn to see prayer as more about seeking intimacy with God instead of seeking things from God. A third reason we can struggle with prayer is because practices like prayer and meditation require and involve silence. And patience and waiting. And we don't like that. Didn't you just get uncomfortable there for a second? Because it's like, why is He waiting so long? He should be talking, all right. We don't like that. We're too busy for that, right? We don't like to just be silent. We don't like to wait. We're good at saying things, but we're not really good at listening and just being silent. But we are also the products of a communication society. And so, man, we carry around cell phones, and we have on our cell phones email and Facebook and Twitter, and that's not all bad. It's not. But it's critical. Critical for the health of our souls that we also learn to just be quiet and be aware of God's presence as it surrounds me. And listen, I'm not pointing fingers at you because I am really bad at this too. I need to grow in this as well. Fourth, and if this is true for you, then without question, this is the biggest issue in your prayer life. And when I say this in a second, I'm afraid it's going to come out sounding, I don't know, judgmental or harsh or something like that, but it's really not. And I thought about this, and it would be easier just not to say it. But if I didn't say it, I wouldn't be honest with you. I've read all these surveys where they say an incredibly massive percentage of Americans say that they pray. But the percentage of people in America who say that they're Christians, who say that they have had a moment where they decided to make Jesus their Savior and Lord, is much, much lower. And I've had at times someone come up to me and they say, yeah, I've tried to pray, but I don't know. It just seems like there's something like stopping my prayers. It feels like there's a wall between me and God. And what I say, and I try to say it as kindly and humbly as I can, is there is something between you and God, and it is stopping your prayers from getting through. There is a wall between you and God, and it's a wall of sin. It's a wall that you have erected by your rebellion against God, and I'm not better than you. I did exactly the same thing, and that wall of sin keeps God from connecting with you and from hearing your prayers. That's what the Bible teaches us. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, and as you've seen, we put all the Bible verses on the screen for you. We also give them out at the Velcro Bar. If you need a Bible, we'd love to give you one. The Bible says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities, which means sins, have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. If you want to pray, if you want to get through to God, if you want to develop a relationship with Him, you have to get rid of that wall of sin that separates you from Him. And the Bible says that the way that we do that is by accepting Jesus as our Savior and Lord. I accept Jesus as the one who can forgive my sins, and I accept Him as the leader of my life as I walk forward in life. And so I believe that He's the only one who can remove that sin barrier from me. And once I do that, once I make that decision and put my faith in Jesus, the Bible says that the next step is to be baptized. The Bible says in Acts 22:16, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on His name." We've actually got several people who are getting baptized today after our 11:30 service, so about 12:45. And listen, if you're at a point where you do believe in Jesus, that He really was the Son of God, He really did die and raise again, somehow His death really has the power to remove my sins and make me right with God, well, then I would say, don't wait. Get baptized, like, today. And if you are thinking about that, would you let us know back at the Velcro Bar after the service? There'll be some people back there, and you can run home if you want and get changed, or you don't have to get changed. You can get baptized in what you're wearing. And it's the ceremony that you go through where you're telling God, I'm in. Like, I want a relationship with You. And the Bible says He washes away your sins. And then you can pray, and you will really get through to God. You will be connected to God. There are a lot of reasons why we don't spend enough time, or maybe any time, in prayer and meditation. And honestly, like, I would say that's actually dangerous, you know? Because when we skip prayer and meditation, we're depriving ourselves of something incredibly powerful. And we're robbing ourselves of probably the most direct pathway we have to develop intimacy with God. Because it's in the blanket of prayer and meditation that we feel God's love. So, what is prayer anyway? And what is meditation? And are they like the same thing, or are they different things? Let me just kind of briefly describe each of them. We don't even have time for me to adequately describe either. And then I want to explain how I think they really do go together. So first, prayer. And the simplest way to think about prayer is that prayer is just talking to God. That's what it is. It's talking to God. A lot of us have made prayer way too complex, and it keeps us from praying. And so we think, well, when you pray, don't you have to, like, you have to say it in a certain way, and you have to use certain words, and you have to get in the, like, right, like, you have to get on your knees, or clasp your hands, or bow your head, like, right? Like, you have to make sure you do it right. And so we start putting up all these hoops that we have to jump through to pray, and then we start thinking, I can't jump through all those hoops, and we don't talk to God because we think we can't do it correctly, but that's not how it's supposed to work. Prayer is just having an honest and real conversation with God. Just an authentic conversation. In other words, you just talk to God. You just pour your heart out, the good and the bad. You're honest. You don't worry if maybe you might sound petty, or if you're saying things in the right way, or what posture you're in. Just talk. Like, you're invited by God to have a casual conversation with Him. And that's something that can be done, like, you know, at home, alone, in some special place, or in your car at a red light. Or in the shopping store when you're waiting in line, or at work when you have a minute. Prayer is just talking to God. There are several places in the Bible where we're told that when we pray to God, we can call Him Abba. And the word Abba is a word that children in that part of the world use for their fathers. I've gotten to go to Israel. One of my favorite moments was I was in the town of Nazareth, and there was these little kids running around, and I heard them start saying, Abba, Abba. And it's that's the word. And it's the equivalent of our word, like, Dada or Papa. And so there's this invitation in the Bible that we can approach God like He's our daddy. You know, when my kids were little, I didn't tell them that they had to use correct grammar or certain words to talk to me, that they didn't have to come and bow first. Okay, I did make them bow first. But No, I didn't make them bow first because they're my kids, right? And they would say the stupidest things. They would talk about, I didn't even understand what they're saying, and they're excited about things that I realize aren't important at all, but I loved every minute of it because those are my kids. And you're God's kid. And he's inviting you to just come and talk to him. But what about meditation? When most people think about the word meditation, we think about some sort of like yoga thing where you sit and you kind of get your legs into a pretzel, right? And you put your hands out in a certain way or something and you start going, om, om. We think of Eastern meditations or mysticism or New Age kind of stuff. But probably the key difference between the meditation practices of the Eastern religious faiths and Christian faith is that where in Eastern practices, meditation is supposed to be an emptying out of the things that are in you. In the Christian faith, meditation is a filling up of God. The goals of other meditations is to completely empty yourself, to get everything out. But with Christian meditation, it's to get as much of God as you can in. And so it's just opening yourself up to and inviting God into your life, into you. And so we could say if prayer is talking to God, there's a very real sense in which meditation could be seen as listening to God, right? Or hearing from God. It's the receiving end of prayer. And meditation can take different forms. There's not like a right way to do it. Some people will choose to meditate on a Bible verse or a Bible passage, and they'll just read the same verse or the same passage over and over, maybe emphasizing different words or different phrases and trying to hear it in different ways just to kind of hear it again with renewed meaning, with new meaning, with new purpose. Other people like to use their imaginations, and so they might read a Bible story or think about one, and they'll just imagine being there in that moment. What did it smell like? What did Jesus' voice sound like? What would it be like to actually touch Jesus' cloak and look to him for healing? And you just imagine yourself, and you invite God in your life by using your imagination. Some people use music to help them meditate. Some people like to use smells like incense. Some people meditate, probably a lot of people meditate with simple silence. And so they just sit in the quiet and invite God in. Or maybe they listen to the sounds around them and use them as kind of the starting points for prayer. And so it's like, thank you, God, for the people in those cars driving by. Thank you, God, for the children who are playing across the street. Thanks, God, for the people in the cubicles next to me here at work, God. Would you lead them to know you and have life in you? So meditation doesn't involve you talking as much as it involves you listening and being quiet. The Bible says in Psalm 46, verse 10, God says, be still and know that I am God. Part of the reason we take some time, even just a few minutes of our day, to do this is so that we can train ourselves to be aware of God's presence all the time, right? And so it's like, if I can really focus for a minute or 5 minutes on God's presence here with me, maybe it's going to start to train me so that when I'm in the middle of a conversation with somebody or I'm at work, I become aware of God's presence with me in that moment. You know, If God is with me all the time and wants to spend my day with me, I don't want to miss that, right? Do you? I don't think so. And so we need to train ourselves by taking time to meditate, just to be still and be aware of God's presence with me and to listen for him. And that's something some of us might be like, wow, that sounds like graduate school. You know, that just sounds beyond me. It sounds really hard. But if it's something that if you start practicing it, you can incorporate it into all different like nooks and crannies in your day. Like the 5 minutes at the end of your lunch hour when you're done eating, but you don't have to go back quite yet. Or as you sit down in your car and you're about to head home for work, you just take a minute before you leave the parking lot. Or a few minutes after you put your kids in bed, you know there's some cleaning to do, but you just take a minute or two after you put your kids in bed and just meditate and feel God's presence. Or in bed, you turn the lights out, and in that couple minutes before your falling asleep, you just try to listen for God's voice and be aware of him. Just a little bit of time to say, God, I've got a minute here. God, I've got a couple minutes here, and I want to meditate, and I want to know you're with me. I want to hear you. If there's something you want to say to me, if there's some way you want to lead me. Prayer and meditation, probably the two best pathways to intimacy with God. But I would say that rather than being like two separate practices, they're really one practice, kind of two sides of the same coin, or better yet, two threads woven together in the same blanket. And that's the image that I want to bring you back to. It's the image that we started with of you curled up and you're snuggled really close to God. And you're kind of wrapped in this blanket of prayer and meditation. And in that intimate closeness, you realize that you can talk to God like a friend. You can listen and you can grow. In that blanket of prayer and meditation, you feel God's love for you. Because ultimately, the most important part of prayer and meditation is letting ourselves be loved by God. And that's really hard for some of us. That's really hard for me. But what we need to feel his embrace and feel his arms wrapped around us, holding us and keeping us warm. Well, rather than just talk about ancient prayer practices, I want you to have the opportunity to try a couple, just briefly, okay? So don't get worried here. But first, let's try a quick prayer of examine. Remember, that was the Ignatius Loyola guy who encouraged people to pick a period of time. And so for you, I'm going to give you a minute to do this. It might be since you got here an hour ago. You just might look back at the last hour. Or you might say yesterday and think about yesterday or this past week. It's up to you. And what you're going to do is try to see, ask God to show you how he was present in your life in that period of time, whatever you choose. Was there anything God was trying to show you? Maybe you missed it. Was there something God was trying to say to you or some direction he was trying to lead you in? Was there some assurance that he was giving you of his love? And maybe it just kind of went right by and you missed it. You don't have to do this if you want. If you just want to sit here for, it's just going to be like a minute. If you just want to sit here and think this is silly, I understand that. But if you want to try it, I think it's going to be cool. Now here's the deal. It might feel really awkward. Or you might sit there for a minute and go, I asked and prayed and looked at it and I didn't get anything. Like, that's totally normal. Anytime you try anything new in life, it feels weird at first and you're not comfortable with it, right? That's true of everything. So that's okay. That's why we're practicing it, okay? So we're going to get a little bit darker in here. I'm going to give you a minute and I want you to pick a specific period of time and I'm just going to give you a minute or so to think about how, and ask God, how were you present in my life during that period of time? Was there anything that you tried to show me or lead me or teach me and I missed it? Okay? So I'm going to give you a minute. Okay. And again, you might be like, that was just weird for me or whatever. That's okay. Keep doing it. And just like with anything else, the more you do it, the more natural it'll feel. And the idea is by realizing, oh, God was with me in that moment, or God was speaking to me and I missed it. Then you start to say, man, I want to look for that in those moments. Instead of always having to look back and see what I missed, I want to be aware of it in the moment. All right, let's do one more. This is an old meditational practice, prayer practice from the Quakers, we did this a couple years ago, and I talked about how we all thought they only gave us oatmeal, but it turns out they also give us this, and I think I got ripped a lot for that, but here I go again. But they have this kind of cool prayer practice, and again, this may be something you want to use at home, called hands down, hands up. And so what's involved in this is that first you sit with your hands down, palms facing down, okay? You could put them on your legs or you could hold them up, whatever you're comfortable with. And in that moment, and I'm going to give you a minute here to do it in a second, you mentally put down everything that's weighing on you at this time, okay? You're just mentally laying your burdens down, giving them to God and trusting Him with them. And the idea is that I just want to sit here feeling unburdened, okay? And then you turn your palms up and you're going to receive God. And so you're just taking God in, you're taking in His love for you. You breathe out your burdens, and then you breathe God in. Okay, so let's try this. Again, if you don't want to, you can just sit there. We'll just take a minute or two. So I'm going to say palms down, and then we're going to give you a minute to just breathe out and lay your burdens out before God, and then I'll say palms up. Turn your palms up and just ask God, God, I want to receive your love. I want to know your presence. I want to know you, okay? So ready? Palms down. Okay, palms up. God, the greatest news of all is that you love us, and we just receive your love. We don't deserve it. Every one of us can think of things we've done probably in the last day that we are embarrassed about and make us feel unworthy of your love. And that's the good news of grace, that you love us because of who you are, and that you love us despite our sin. That you don't love us because of our worth, but that your love gives us worth. God, one of the mistakes probably a lot of us, and I'm probably at the front of the line, have been making is to ignore your presence in our lives. You're inviting us to do life with you. And what an unbelievably amazing invitation that is. And God, probably a lot of us have just been missing it. And my prayer is that this morning and some of the things we've talked about and tried would help us to leave here ready to do life in a different way. That we would leave here ready to do life with you. And it's not going to come naturally. It's not going to happen right away. But just that we would start to use some of these things to train ourselves to look for you, to be aware of your presence. And if we did that, then we would live lives without these burdens that we carry and without this weight. And we could start to really find peace and joy in you. God, help us to not just believe in you, not just to show up at church, but to actually live our lives with you so that we can experience real, true, enthusiastic, passionate life. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.